أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. This is the month of Rabi al-Awwal. And 5 days ago on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, Muslims all over the world held special gatherings to commemorate and celebrate the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those very special programs, no doubt, attracted huge numbers of Muslims globally, and there were events even locally, alhamdulillah. And there can be no two opinions among Muslims that remembering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning about his life example, invoking Allah's blessings and favors upon him, the salawat and salam, are no doubt highly meritorious acts. These are highly blessed acts. These are acts that infuse us with tremendous spiritual wealth. They are spiritually elevating and nourishing. And they reflect quite rightly the true love and the devotion that Muslims do have for their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the Milad celebrations show this deep love, and they show the devotion that all Muslims have for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad bin Abdullah al-Hashimi al-Qurashi. Now this love and this devotion remains a distinct characteristic of Muslims till today. Throughout the centuries, Muslims no doubt have been true in expressing their love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in this blessed month, we can do so much more to express our true fidelity, our true love, our true devotion to the noble memory and the legacy of our blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it may be worth our while to go through some pointers indicating how best we could take advantage of the time and the occasion. First and foremost, we should recite the Quran and listen to the Quran on a daily basis. Now, one of the best ways to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reflect love and devotion to His blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to attain to His good companionship in the hereafter, no doubt are the very words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as revealed on the tongue of His blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a bit a day will keep Shaitan at bay, inshallah. Unfortunately, some of us do not even perform our salah, let alone think of reciting the Quran. So let's start today. Let's improve our recitation. Let's go to the local imam or the maulana or the sheikh and learn tajweed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved to listen to the Quran. He would have his sahaba recite to him in spite of the Quran having been revealed to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you do not read the Quran, if you don't get the opportunity to learn to recite it, then at least listen to it regularly every day. That's the first recommendation on my part for you in this blessed month of Rabiul Awwal. We should also learn more about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did you know that he once went to a wedding party and fell asleep? Did you know that on an occasion he kept his hair braided into 4 braids? So if we read the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn about his characteristics, no doubt. We learn about his akhlaq, his traits, his sayings, his actions, his preferences, his likes, his idiosyncrasies. There are many beautiful works available to read. There's an abundance of material online even available. I would strongly recommend a simple book called Uswatu Rasul al-Akram by a student of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, which describes all these idiosyncratic features of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is as with any lover, we love to know every minute detail of our object of love. So let's learn something more about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should also listen to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listening is actually the key. A great deal changes through listening. In fact, the ears are the preeminent determiner of our worldview and our value system, and as a consequence, our action and behavior. So we need to ask ourselves, do we actually listen to the words of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They carry in them a pathway to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also a pathway into our inner dimensions, our soul, and ultimately a pathway to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, for example, that Allah declares, لَوِ اسْتَفْتَحُونِ كُلَّ بَابٍ, if mankind were to try to approach me coming from every door, وَجَاءُونِ مِن كُلِّ طَرِيقٍ, if they were to attempt to gain proximity to me coming down every path, لَنْ أَفْتَحَ عَلَيْهِمْ, I would not open my doors to humanity, إِلَّا مِن وَرَائِكَ, except behind you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to keep reading. We need to keep listening to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his sunnah, until it permeates our very essence. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that la yu'minu ahadukum, that none of you truly believed, hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wan nasi ajma'in, until I am more beloved to him than his father and his child and all humanity collectively. And this love can only be engendered if we know the object of love. The degree to which we know the object of love and come to recognize his attributes of perfection, that is the degree to which our love increases, our devotion increases. So let's listen to the words of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should also share the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to share the Prophet of Allah with humanity. And we have kept him to ourselves. We have kept him to our tasbih, to our prayer beads, reciting the salawat. Now, if we really love the Prophet of Allah, we would translate that love into a language heard by the deaf and action seen by the blind. In other words, we would share the Prophet of Allah with humanity. This is something we can do, especially given the tremendous misunderstandings of people regarding our faith through the foolish actions of Muslims and also the lies attributed to us. So share the Prophet of Allah. This is one of the best ways in which you can celebrate his memory, celebrate his milad, his birth. We also need to increase our salawat and salam, our salutations and our blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The durood, the salawat, the salam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabil Ummi. O Allah, shower your choicest favors and blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should try to increase these salawat. We need to increase the blessings that we invoke upon the Prophet of Allah. We need to beseech Allah to afford him the choicest of his favors. This is a real means of connecting and of generating love with the Prophet Allah, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can we show gratitude to him for his innumerable sacrifices for our well-being except by asking Allah to reward him on our behalf, which is what the salawat is? It's a thanksgiving. It's an expression of gratitude. It's an expression of love, of appreciation for this noble man. And in salawat, there is nothing but gain after gain. There are so many fada'il, so many virtues of salawat ala nabi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, said, "Man salla alayya wahid sallallahu alayhi ashar." That the person invokes Allah's blessings upon me once, then 10 times those blessings are then showered upon that individual. And the blessing invoked upon the Prophet of Allah is guaranteed. So too is the blessing that is showered upon the person invoking the blessing. It's the surest way in which you can bless yourself. Some people assume that by abstaining from sin, Allah will bless me. By doing acts of virtue, Allah will bless me. There's no guarantee. But there is a guarantee with salawat and salam upon the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah indeed blesses those who invoke his blessings upon his beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Ash-Sha'rani mentions over 40 fada'il, benefits of salawat ala nabi. Maulana Zakaria Kandahlawi has devoted an entire book of more than 150 pages only on the virtues and the blessings of salawat ala nabi. We should take the time of reading those books. What we find with salawat ala nabi, first and foremost, Allah illuminates our hearts. Hearts that are dark, hearts that are dead, are given life. It's the quickest way to reviving one's soul. Salawat ala Nabi. There are many ahadith that emphasize this. And those ahadith are full of secrets. So what we need to do is discover those secrets. Go out and read about the benefits of salawat ala Nabi. Because how better to celebrate the birth of the Prophet, and how better to honor his name than have the divine, have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest favors and have his name celebrated in the highest heavens. We also should attend and organize gatherings dedicated to the memory and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can do this with our family. We don't have to do everything in a big hall or a big masjid. Sit down with your family, with your relatives, with your friends. Do it any way you like. Be productive, be creative in the way that we recollect and celebrate the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should try to get the whole community involved. If we have a masjid, unfortunately we don't, have a big Milad celebration. Why not? And what we could do is even collaborate with other communities. Invite even the Christian communities in to discover the birth and the life of this noble messenger of Allah, as we are so familiar with the birth and life of Isa, of Jesus, the son of Maryam alayhi salam, through the Christmas celebrations, for example. It's an opportunity whereby they could learn so much. Everyone loves a party. No one will say no to a party. Invite them to the masjid, there may be some reservations. Invite them to a party, trust me, you'll get a whopper crowd. So invite them to a party dedicated to the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hearts are open. And in this way you can educate and inform. We need to send each other gifts. Speak to each other. Why? Because as a consequence of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we wake up every morning as brothers in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that had it not been for Muhammad, had it not been for this revelation, then we would have been averse, enemies, antagonistic to each other. So the love we share as Muslims is as a consequence of the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Gift each other gifts. Send each other gifts. Remember those less fortunate as well. Feed the homeless. Have a soup kitchen. How better can you celebrate the life of the Prophet by feeding the destitute amongst whom the Prophet lived? The Prophet said that I live amongst the destitute, and on the Day of Judgment I am raised amongst the destitute. How is it that we celebrate the Milad of the Prophet, we fill ourselves and gorge ourselves to the point that we vomit, yet the poor hungry neighbor has his tummy aching? So it's a mockery of the memory of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if we celebrate his Milad in that manner. We should need to be a little more generous to the less fortunate during this time. Donate to shelters. Get active with some cause. Hand out roses. Be creative. And we do it all in the name of the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in celebrating his memory. Go to our local masjid. Help the local masjid. Come to me, help me. Find out if the masjid needs volunteers. Find out what they're struggling with. Maybe you have some technical expertise. You're an accountant. You're an engineer. Do that. After all, those masajid exist purely as a consequence of none other than Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, you'll find often that there's always an issue in our own backyard and that we were completely oblivious to it. We like to run to the assistance of Muslims overseas, and rightly so. But very often most of our problems are in our own yard. So if we can help our local masjid, help our local communities, help them. And if we don't help, then who's going to help? So this is something else we could do as part of our Milad celebration. We should pray for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are part of the Ummah. How often do we pray for ourselves? Very often. How often do we pray for the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Need I say any more? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Asra'u du'a'i ijabatan da'watu ghaibin li ghaib." The du'a that is most quickly responded to by Allah, the du'a that is acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the du'a that is blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the du'a that you make for the absent brother, the one who is not with you. Make du'a for all our absent brothers. those who have left us, who have passed on into the afterlife, who we will meet, and those that are still living in our distress. Make dua for the ummah. So the degree that you make dua for the ummah is a degree to which Allah blesses you. One of the reasons why we're not blessed as an ummah is because we simply have forgotten the ummah. We don't make dua for them. So in celebrating this milad, this birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember his ummah, because what was his one dua? Ya Rabbi, ummati, ummati. Oh my Lord, my ummah, my ummah. Yearn also for closeness to Allah and closeness to his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now proximity to the Prophet of Allah will in return give you proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And proximity with the Prophet of Allah is really where our salvation lies. There's no other salvation. If you are deprived of the company of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter, then you are truly deprived. The Sahaba said that there is a hadith that pleased us more than any other statement of the Prophet of Allah. And that is when once they came to the Prophet of Allah and they said, Prophet of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, how will we ever be able to reach you in the highest empyreans when you stand in the presence of your Lord and you enjoy His good company while we are the wretched and separated eternally? Question? Can you imagine being separated from the one you love eternally? As a woman you love. Can you imagine the thought of being separated from her eternally? And this was the concern of the Sahaba, that the Prophet of Allah justly deserves the highest empyrean, مع الرفيق الأعلى, with the beloved companion on high, while we're wretched human beings. And this terrified them, upon which the Prophet ﷺ says that المرء مع من أحب. And this is the hadith that the Sahaba said we cherished more than any other statement of the Prophet, that a person will be with whom he loves. So yearn for the closeness of Allah, proximity to his blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in the hereafter, and express your love in an appropriate way. Express your love at least by salawat and salam. Love him, for the degree to which you love him is a degree to which you enjoy his good companionship eternally in the hereafter. So rightly so, we must celebrate this milad. It is an auspicious occasion. We know that it is not a necessary obligation of the Sharia. No Muslim is deceived into assuming that by celebrating the birth of the Prophet, we are in any way worshipping or adoring the Prophet of Allah in an undue manner, as the Christians worship Christ as the Son of God. That's absurd. It is a meritorious event, and we should take advantage of it. But we should be cautious that it does not simply become a festive occasion that detracts from the message of the Prophet of Allah and from the spirit of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those are some advices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us better understanding and tawfiq and hikmah and wisdom. I promised myself that I wouldn't say anything about politics for the next 3 or 4 weeks, because I think you're probably sick and tired of that subject, as I am, rightly so. But obviously we have another spectacle in France, and I thought it may be just worthwhile to make one or two short statements about it. It's invariably, as part of the global ummah, you will be asked, and it's good to have an opinion, as compared to just shying away from a subject as ludicrous and as deceptive as it may be. Now, you've probably heard of this term, false flag terrorism. Basically, it's defined as a government attacking its own people, or another entity attacking a group and then blaming others in order to justify going to war against that other, the other that is blamed. Now, leaders throughout history have acknowledged the danger of false flags. And this goes back into antiquity. And there are many instances throughout human history of false flag operations. If you go to Plato, the founder of what you could call Western civilization, he says that this and no other false flag operations. This and no other is the root from which a tyrant springs. When he first appears, he is a protector. If you look at people like Friedrich Nietzsche, another prominent Western philosopher, he says a history of false flag attacks used to manipulate the minds of people is a fact. In individuals, insanity is rare. But in groups, parties, nations, and epochs, it is the rule. And it is easy to create insanity and hysteria amongst a large group more easily than amongst individuals through false flag attacks. If you take, for example, even the United States President James Madison, who is revered amongst the scholars and the patriots of the United States, he said that if tyranny and oppression come to this land, to the United States, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy through a false flag operation. Now, just 1 month ago, if we were watching the news, France set off a stampede when its lower house voted to recognize Palestine. It was amongst the only significant European nations to vote to recognize Palestine. Palestine duly then goes to the International Criminal Court and is now poised to take down Israel for genocide. Suddenly, and very conveniently, Islamic terror strikes France. The question now is that is Paris going to follow through with its pro-Palestinian vote, or is it being punished for that pro-Palestinian vote? Also remember that France is not falling for the Russian Cold War that the United States is trying to stoke up. And France wants to end sanctions against Russia. It's again one of the few senior European states that is opposing this belligerent, bellicose, warmongering attitude of the United States. So now with the fresh fear of terror, France will definitely fall back into line. So they get American and NATO protection against terrorists. And also they contribute their fair lion's share to this fake war on terror. Now, understand this much, that when you watch the news or read the newspaper, and many Western analysts, many Western philosophers and thinkers and academics have made it abundantly clear that there are no legitimate events anymore. There are no true events. Everything is a setup after a setup after a setup. Governments plant millions of seeds. Governments like the United States, like England, for example. And then they stand ready to exploit any and all of those seeds that germinate. And this is basically what's happened again. Not only do they continuously plot and scheme to further their very selfish agendas. We know there's a resource war going on right now. Syria was attacked because it attempted to circumvent the Saudi Anglo, at least American, monopolization of the fossil fuel industry. So what they do is that they scheme. And they do things that they know for a fact will generate blowback. And then perpetuate that fraud. It's cheaper to make people hate than actually keeping them on their bankroll. And now they've got large groups, large swaths of humanity to hate each other. We should also avoid that. Last week I said we must stop apologizing for random acts of terror done in our name. We feed the beast. We need to stop hating also, because it's also part of the scheme, drawing humanity into a state of perpetual conflict. Because this serves that agenda. It keeps the power structures in order. And we need to tell our fellow Australians about this. We need to stop hating each other and being played like puppets on a string. Now, if you look at the dominant powers, those that monopolize the resources of the world, they need a weapon. A weapon of mass distraction. To prevent full-scale revolution against their order. The banking cartels, for example, will literally have a stranglehold over the world. In fact, the banking cartels are killing Europe. Europe is in a state of depression right now. Economies are going bust. The unemployment rate is now edging up to 40, 50, 60, 70% in some European countries like Greece and like Spain. It's not Muslim terrorists that are guilty of it. We are the distraction from the true perpetrators of violence and terrorism against the European people. Banking cartels, for example. So this becomes a convenient distraction. So basically what we find is that we need to take the opportunity of challenging these assertions, at least informing our friends and neighbors, our Australian friends and neighbors, about this scam. Tell them that we refuse to hate and we refuse to be drawn into this scam. And you too need to understand that this is a setup. Now, what we find, what did the Obama administration do? And there was a chorus across the globe, and unfortunately our mindless abbot does exactly the same. They are ready to mobilize forces to offer protection to France, mob style. Remember, Europe has been under the thumb of the United States since the Second World War. It has no autonomy. It's a surrogate of the United States. And when Russia now tries to assert some degree of autonomy, well, we have a very convenient attack, absurd attack. So, what is basically happening, aside from the fabricated Russian threat, and Europeans increasingly are beginning to dismiss that notion of a Russian threat. It's fabricated. We find that this empire of chaos, which is what the United States unfortunately has become, and that's not the people of the United States. They are vehemently opposed to the policies of their government, like the people of Australia are vehemently opposed to the policies of the Abbott government. So don't confuse the people with a government that really has been hijacked. Hijacked by other forces. The Zionist lobby is the most powerful lobby in Washington right now. So don't confuse the policies of the government with the people. Don't hate American people, Australian people. They are just as much victims of the scam as me and you are. So what we need to do, in a nutshell, is spread the love. Spread the love. Speak to people. Don't become a hater. Because hate is basically you offering services for free to the powers that be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us better understanding and hikmah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.